following sermon is read from volume 5 of the 6-volume set entitled Puritan Sermons 1659 to 1689, being the morning exercises at Cripplegate. This complete 6-volume set of Puritan sermons is available from Stillwater Revival Books on Calvinism Bookshelf CD Volume 1 in SWRB's 3-for-1 CD Super Sale at swrb.com. This set is also available from SWRB in printed format at swrb.com. Stillwater's Revival Books makes thousands of classic Puritan books and sermons available, free and at great discounts, in print, audio, and video formats at swrb.com. If you would like to join our email list to stay up to date about all the new, free, and discounted Puritan and Reform resources we make available, please send an email to swrb at swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. For more information about the Puritan Publishing Ministry of SWRB, please email us at swrb at swrb.com. Welcome to a continuation of the reading of Sermon 12, Part 2, entitled The Covenant of Grace. But so have I, must you say, that refuse the gospel. I have, or might have, heard thousands of sermons. I could scarce escape hearing one or other showing me the danger of sin and my necessity of Christ. But, notwithstanding all I heard, I wilfully resolved that I would have nothing to do with him. I could not endure to hear strictness pressed upon me. It was all the hell I had upon earth that I could not sin in quiet. 3. Nay, but the devil himself say, it is true I was ever since my fall maliciously set against God. But alas, so soon as ever I had first sinned, God kicked me out of heaven and told me he would never have mercy on me. And though I lived in the time of all manner of gracious dispensations, I saw sacrifices offered and Christ in the flesh and the gospel preached. Yet how could this choose but enrage me the more to have God, as it were, say, look here, Satan, I have provided a remedy for sin, but none for thine. This set me upon revenge against God, as far as I could reach him. But alas, alas, had God ever entered into any covenant with me at all? Had God put me upon any terms, though never so hard, for the obtaining of mercy? Had Christ been but once offered to me, what do you think I would have done? Will I hearken to anything you could say to refuse Christ and salvation? Could you or all the angels in heaven have kept me from minding Christ? But woe to me, may the gospel sinner say, I have as good a remnant of the covenant of great works in my nature as the pagans have. I have all the discoveries of God in the legal covenant that the Jews ever had. I'm under the better dispensation than the devils were under their fall. The gospel of grace is urged upon me, and therefore, O poor Jew, whatever you be said against thy breach of covenant, there is a thousandfold more to be said against mine, O poor pagan. Whatever is to be said against thy breach of covenant, there is 10,000-fold more against mine. O wretched devils, whatever may be said against your sins, there is infinitely more to be said against mine. I am the most foolish, mad, willful rebel that ever waged war with the grace of God. Sirs, is all this nothing to you? Can you hear these things quietly? I know you dare not think them over again and sin at the same rate as before. If you think your souls anything worth, or heaven and glory anything worth, now offer yourselves to Christ in the gospel covenant. Thus much for the first inference, that their estate is dreadful, that I'm not in the gospel covenant. 2. The second inference is this, that their estate is comfortable, that are in the gospel covenant. I will only instance in 2 things. 1. The weakest and poorest faith and service is accepted through Christ in the gospel covenant. The covenant of grace is made to poor, weak, sinful, frail man through a mediator. God does not expect that we should be perfect here. Poor Christians have more ado to pardon themselves than to have God to pardon them. They quarrel more with themselves for want of holiness than God quarrels with them for it. Beloved, here are some comfortable riddles of grace for you to resolve. The covenant is merely of grace. Grace runs through all the veins and arteries of it. All the life, blood, and spirit of the covenant are grace, grace through Jesus Christ. And yet, beloved, though it be wholly of grace, it is a debt by being a covenant. God is pleased to enter into bond to make good his deed of gift. What God doth for the heirs of promise, it is no more than that what is debt to Christ, and what through him he has graciously engaged to us, for us. Oh, the comfort of being in covenant with God. You will say so indeed, if you add to. This gospel covenant is so made that it can never be disannulled. Alas, we do not know where or how to make a covenant sure in the world. He that is a friend today may be my enemy tomorrow. His bond may be good today and may be tomorrow insolvable. There are ways more than we know of to evade the strictest covenant, to disannul the strongest oath. But now God has sworn by himself, Hebrews 6:13, that he will certainly bless those whom he takes into covenant with him. God has sworn by his holiness, Psalm 89:34-35, as if he should say, let me not be accounted a holy God if I break covenant with any of my people. Nay, he swears by his life, Isaiah 49:18-19. The prophet speaks there of Zion as of a mother city and of multitudes that should be brought home to her by the ministry of the gospel, and that they should be as jewels and ornaments, matter of much honour to her by their endowments with spiritual graces. Thus gospel covenanters shall be qualified. But you will presently say, there is no danger of God's breaking covenant. All the danger is on our part. But Christians, there is not so much danger on our part as many fear. It is not every sin that presently breaks the covenant. A wife may be foolish and passionate, yet the marriage is not thereby broken. And when we do slip into covenant breaches, Christ is ready to pardon us, and the Spirit of Christ ready to piece up our breaches, provided we do but make conscience in the whole course of our lives to keep covenant with God. Christians, I hope that, by all that hath been spoken, you will be persuaded to enter into covenant and to keep covenant with God. If so, I have my end, and so hath my sermon.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. You are welcome to make copies and give them to those in need. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. It is likely that the sermon or book that you just listened to is also available on cassette or video, or as a printed book or booklet. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's E-D-M-O-N-T-O-N, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart. From his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, I have not commanded them, whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important when he says that God had commanded no such thing and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.